A man sits reading 600 pages a day while his peers frantically trade stocks on multiple screens. He holds cash, earning nearly nothing, while others leverage themselves to the hilt, chasing returns. He admits ignorance freely, while Wall Street experts project certainty about everything. This man, Charlie Munger, and his partner Warren Buffett turned $100 invested in 1965 into over $2 million by 2015, a 20.8% annual return spanning five decades. The secret wasn't complexity or speed. It was something far more difficult: disciplined simplicity in a world addicted to action. While most investors treat the stock market like a casino, Munger approached it like a scholar studying civilizations, patiently, broadly, and with brutal honesty about what he didn't know. His wisdom extends far beyond finance, offering a blueprint for clear thinking in an age of noise. Our culture worships speed: fast food, fast fashion, fast money. Yet chasing quick wealth destroys more fortunes than any market crash. When you pursue rapid gains, you're gambling on short-term price movements, where stock prices gyrate wildly on rumors and sentiment divorced from business fundamentals. The real killer is leverage. Borrowing money to amplify returns magnifies losses equally. Munger's metaphor is visceral. Using leverage is like driving a car with a dagger on the steering wheel pointed at your heart. One mistake, and you're finished. Munger used leverage early in his career, but recognized the existential risk. One misjudgment could erase years of wealth building. This realization transformed his philosophy. Instead of betting on price movements, he focused on long-term business economics. Buy excellent companies at reasonable prices, then let time work its magic. As Munger notes, it's remarkable how much long-term advantage people like us have gotten by trying to be consistently not stupid instead of trying to be very intelligent. Avoiding stupidity beats seeking brilliance. During the late 1990s tech bubble, critics called Munger and Buffett irrelevant dinosaurs for avoiding profitless internet stocks. Munger's response? I have a circle of competence. So does Warren. We don't know when the bubble will pop, so we stay away. When the bubble exploded in 2000, trillions evaporated. Berkshire's investments remained intact. Your circle isn't fixed. Munger gradually expanded his to include insurance, banking, newspapers, and utilities. But expansion begins with acknowledging current boundaries. How many career mistakes stem from pretending to expertise you lack? How many bad investments from overconfidence about industries you barely understand? Recognizing your limitations isn't weakness. It's the foundation of genuine knowledge. As Munger observes, people are trying to be smart. All I am trying to do is not to be idiotic, but it's harder than most people think. Munger's approach seems subversive. Do nothing most of the time. The big money is not in the buying and selling, but in the waiting. This contradicts Wall Street's constant trading, what Munger dismisses as fee churning and frictional costs. His patience operates on two levels. First, waiting years for opportunities. During the late 1960s bull market, Buffett closed his partnership because everything seemed overpriced. Charlie stayed invested and lost nearly half his partner's money in the 1973-74 crash, a painful lesson in waiting's value. Second, holding exceptional businesses for decades. Their 1988 Coca-Cola investment exemplifies this. They paid $3.24 per share, recognizing Coke's returns would compound with earnings. By 2015, their $1.299 billion investment reached $17.184 billion, compounding at 10.04% annually for 27 years and generating $528 million in annual dividends, a 40% yield on original cost. The psychological challenge is immense: watching others profit during bubbles while sitting idle, then acting boldly when everyone panics. As Munger puts it, it takes character to sit with all that cash and do nothing. Munger views stocks as ownership stakes in actual businesses, not trading symbols. He calculates total market value against long-term economic worth. If the business has a durable competitive advantage at a reasonable price, it's a potential buy. This perspective pushed them beyond Benjamin Graham's strict value investing. Munger recognized that exceptional businesses grow their intrinsic value over time, like equity bonds with rising interest rates. See's Candies, bought in 1972 for $25 million, earning $4.2 million annually, generated $1.65 billion in profits by 2011. The secret? Minimal capital needs and pricing power from brand loyalty that enabled 10% annual price increases without dampening demand. This insight shifted Berkshire toward businesses with economic moats, durable competitive advantages. Most investments are in companies selling the same products for 50-plus years. With great businesses, time compounds value. Conversely, Munger avoids intensely competitive industries. Painful experiences with department stores, textile factories, and airlines taught him that commodity businesses constantly battle over price, crushing margins. As he notes, in a commodity business, it's very hard to be smarter than your dumbest competitor. Intelligence doesn't prevent disaster. Long-term capital management, staffed by Wall Street traders and Nobel laureates, collapsed overnight in 1998 when Russia's debt default triggered margin calls on $120 billion in loans. Beware incentive-caused bias. Financial incentives drive recommendations from surgeons to realtors that may not serve your interests. One CEO discovered his superior product lagged because salesmen earned higher commissions on the old version. Munger advocates a latticework of mental models from multiple disciplines. During the 2007-09 banking crisis, his understanding of central banking led him to buy Wells Fargo at $8.58 when others fled, correctly predicting federal intervention. The stock later hit $47. Most counterintuitively, Munger values rapid destruction of your ideas when the time is right. He actively seeks to disprove his own thinking. Any year you don't destroy one of your best-loved ideas is a wasted year. This flexibility allows adapting while others remain trapped in outdated paradigms. In my whole life, I have known no wise people who didn't read all the time. None. Zero, Munger declares. His children joke that he's a book with a couple of legs sticking out. He reportedly reads up to 600 pages daily. His approach combines disciplined focus with multidisciplinary breadth. Unlike specialists, Munger gathers key ideas from all disciplines, Darwin's evolution, Einstein's physics, Bagehot's banking principles, with equal fluency. You have to have a passionate interest in why things are happening. That cast of mind, kept over long periods, gradually improves your ability to focus on reality. Munger views learning as cumulative. Spend each day trying to be a little wiser than you were when you woke up. Slug it out 1 inch at a time, day by day. While practicing law, he dedicated an hour daily to self-education. After years of reading, different knowledge areas began interconnecting and compounding, making him a much better investor at 90 than he was at 50. Beyond intellectual growth, Munger emphasizes intellectual honesty, seeing reality clearly even when uncomfortable. He believes it's intellectually dishonest to hold an opinion if you can't articulate opposing arguments better than opponents can. He advocates dealing only with trustworthy people. The highest form that civilization can reach is a seamless web of deserved trust. Drawing from Stoic philosophy, Munger views every missed opportunity as a chance to behave well and learn. Without experiencing troubles in textiles, he might never have discovered consumer monopolies like Coca-Cola. In a world that sells speed and certainty, Munger offers something radical: patience, honesty, and simplicity. The big money isn't in the buying and selling, but in the waiting. And the best armor of old age is a well-spent life preceding it, one day, one page, one honest admission at a time.